There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
About what to get to today, considering the Rockets haven't played since Friday. We'll talk about their loss to the Nuggets. The Texans didn't play because, well, they didn't play yesterday because they played on Thursday. So it's been a bit of distance since the two teams we would focus on have played. Now, the Rockets do have a game tonight. I was going to say against an old buddy in Dylan Brooks, but I'm not sure Dylan Brooks is of the mindset that he'll treat the Rockets like their old friends. Like, I think there's a good chance he will completely forget that he played for this team and knew those guys, and it'll just be the Dylan Brooks, and he'll act like there's no connection to them at all, which is what Phoenix would want, I guess. But I guess the way he survives in this league, beyond at least last year becoming a knockdown shooter, is having no friends. So I do wonder, considering his history, considering the Rockets, who are one of the teams who you could throw into the not effing around group of teams, if there will be maybe altercations too strong, but a bit of a row if I was from across the pond. I wouldn't put it past them to go, you know what, I'm going to wrap Jabari up on the way to the cup, and there'll be a little back and forth. And Dylan Brooks will have no acknowledgement that he was in the same locker room with Jabari for a couple years and go, what? Because he got into it with Naz Reid, not that they were teammates, and because we have some great content creators who can read lips and up audio. It was a lot of Naz Reid calling Dylan Brooks something, and then Dylan Brooks may have called Naz Reid the P word, and then it got into a back and forth where everyone felt insulted, except for Dylan Brooks, because this is his game. So
he lives there. That's where he lives.
Yeah.
I don't get insulted by this.
He was born into the darkness. What are you talking about? So that is my game within the game tonight. And by the way, I was looking it up because when I was on ESPN.com just to see what time the game was, it flashed Peacock, which isn't so nuts. They always generally tell you what national carriers have in the game, whether it be on Prime or ESPN or Peacock/NBC. I think tonight's exclusively a Peacock game. I don't think you can watch the game through legal means unless you have Peacock, because it's not on Space City Home Network from the schedule I looked up. So that's tough. The Rockets haven't played for a couple days, and they play tonight against a Suns team who has surprise, and you have, like I said, the Dylan Brooks of it all, and you can't see it unless you have Peacock, from what I can find right now.
Yeah, sometimes they're on both, but
I don't know. Not tonight, because I went to a place that would have the schedule for
the local listings
for Space City Home Network tonight, and they don't have that. They have World Jai Alai League, followed by the rodeo, and then some local talk show, radio show we don't have to talk about. So that's their schedule for tonight. So if you're hoping to see Rockets basketball, hope you have Peacock or watch it through a certain streamer.
Yeah, might have the rodeo on my laptop though, as that's going.
So that's tough. And speaking of, you know, maybe illicit ways to stream stuff, we need to mention, and we'll get to the early Cowboy fan at some point. Hold on, we probably won't get to you in the next couple minutes. But we will get to you. You want to talk Cowboys, I guess Eagles in the game yesterday as the Cowboys came back for 21-0. We should mention that if you were tuning in during that Cowboys game yesterday but did not hear John and Lance this morning, we should let you know that, yes, if you heard something surprising, we were hacked yesterday. We were the victim of a cyber attack, and I didn't hear it, but of course some people did, and apparently some of the audio was racist. Not great, of course, when it's coming from our signal, but it was not us. We were the victim of a cyber attack, and we're not going to give much attention to it, just to let you know. That's what happened. It did not emanate from our studios. I mean, I know we got some squirrely figures here, but none of us would do anything like that. And so that's what happened. I'm glad it seemed to be rectified in a couple minutes, and we got back to Cowboys-Eagles. I don't know what time it happened in the game, but apparently it was in the middle of – I wonder if it was the tipping point to the comeback.
Oh.
Like it was 21-0, that audio got out, and then the flip happened, mm-hmm. and the Cowboys went on to win.
Yeah.
Big win for them, 24-21 the final.
That's when George Pickens was like, all right. Enough of the nonsense.
Enough.
George Pickens is here to take this thing over.
Yeah. That was part of a big weekend, certainly the Sunday of NFL football. And if we go by how it went for the Texans, Jags winning, unfortunate. Chiefs winning, you know what? The Colts have to play the Jags two times and the Texans two times. Initially, I thought to myself, of course, you want the Chiefs to win or lose because you want those cockroaches out of here. But you're competing against multiple teams, it looks like, for that last spot. Maybe the second, maybe the fifth, the sixth seed as well, if you want to throw the Bills in there since you have a win over them. Is it more straightforward just to beat the Colts twice? It's more straightforward just to do that. Of course, the question is, are they capable? Look, the Colts looked very human yesterday. It was gotta have it for the Chiefs. But there are times when the Colts could have put that game away, and they just didn't. The Chiefs did a good job stopping Jonathan Taylor. He had like one big run of like 28 yards. I think that was his longest run of the day. And then Daniel Jones had a couple opportunities, mostly because Shane Steichen put the ball in his hands. It didn't work out, but it would be more straightforward just to beat the Colts twice. And now you're within two games of them. And they start practice. At least they'll go through. They'll be in the building all week. But real practice doesn't begin until Wednesday. And I think we'll hear from D'Amico Ryans today. So we'll get an injury update on some guys. We know CJ is expected to be back. Jalen Petrie, we'll see. I think the prognosis is he'll be available because he was on the field practicing next week. But we'll see who else came out of the Bills game banged up and see if they're healthy and ready to go. But, yeah, Jags losing, Pittsburgh losing, or Jags winning, Pittsburgh losing, good. Ravens, we expect them to win the division. They beat the Jets. Now they are the division leader, tied with the same record as the Steelers, but now they are, because of tiebreakers, although those two teams haven't played yet, they now, at least according to if the playoffs ended today, they'd be the AFC North champion. So that's expected. So I don't think, even with the tiebreaker over them, we'll be competing against the Ravens. It'll be about the Steelers. So all in all, pretty productive weekend, depending on how you felt about winning the division or knocking the Chiefs out. But what you did against the Bills allows for these conversations to happen. All right, Eric, I see you. You want to talk Cowboys. We'll get to you when we come back. There's another person. I can't see your name. You want to talk about a movie? That fits the profile, particularly on a day like today when we already did the Texan stuff. So if you want to do movies, you can, certainly. We will only be here till Wednesday. We won't have a Thursday show.
So basically, today's a holiday show.
Well, yes.
So is tomorrow.
If John and Lance was hosting the show, they'd call it a holiday show. It's just our show, which is kind of always a holiday from regular old sports talk. So if you want to talk about movies, because Michael Carroll won't be joining us on Friday, he's not even here this week. So you can talk to us about movies and TV shows if you so choose. We can do that. Sean, we got to admit to being wrong. We had some real thoughts on how that James Franklin thing at Virginia Tech would roll this Saturday, and we were wrong on it. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Well, that leads us into college football, where not a lot of upsets, but we have news regarding some SEC things, a senior day at LSU, which was very funny to me considering how they handled it, and what's next in the CFP. Eric, mystery caller, we'll get to you when we come back.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Oralea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Oralea.
We'll get to Eric and La Salsa. He's the mystery caller. 20-9. Culture of 20-9. They get the fumble from Akeem Hunt inside the 10-yard line. And I thought, well, I didn't think the game was over, but I thought you got a real shot to bury this team. I didn't like some of Shane Steichen's decisions. You know what? Enough with the it's 4th and 3. We're going to try to draw them all sides. Like, if it's the Jets, I think you got a shot to get that off. But everyone knows the Chiefs aren't jumping off sides. You're just going to take the delay game penalty and then wind up punting the football. Cut it out. You did it a couple times. It didn't work. Either go forward or just run your... punting, I was gonna curse. Run your punt team on the field.
We don't allow that on the station. That kind of language.
Not from the mouths of the hosts, but if we get hacked, then maybe. But just run the punt team out there, take your delay game penalty, and kick. I would have preferred a couple times if they would have gone for it on 4th and 3, just because I understand you don't want to give the Chiefs a short field. They aren't very explosive unless Rashee Rice is getting open, but play for the win, and if you're not, then just punt the football. Don't try to trick anyone, particularly the Chiefs. Time. Yeah, you're just wasting everyone's time. You're wasting our time. Of course, the game goes in the overtime. Inexplicably, right? The Colts win the toss and then take the ball first? Is that how
yes.
that happens?
Yeah, so yeah. I'm not sure if they won the toss.
I know they got the ball first. I'm trying to remember if they won the toss, which is now, with the new rule, the wrong way of going about it.
Yeah, now you want to...
You want to know what you need, because if they score a touchdown, at least you know you got 4 downs to go get a first down every time. Instead, either way, they get stopped. The Chiefs do what we all expected them to do, go down there and get the field goal to win it. Real shot. I saw Chiefs fans thinking, considering how the game started for them with the pick that led to the Colts' first touchdown after they punted and got the Chiefs backed up deep. They're down 20-9. I mentioned the Kareem Hunt, a fumble. When they're going in for a score, you think, all right, maybe the king is dead. Nah, Colts let him off the hook, in the words of Denny Green. They let him off the hook, and now we got to deal with him with newfound confidence the rest of the way.
Nah, the Cowboys will get him next, or on Thursday.
Well, the Cowboys are going to need it. So will the Chiefs. Desperate times for both.
2 500 teams.
Yeah, Cowboys. No, the Chiefs are 6-5 now.
Yeah, whatever. You're basically 500.
Cowboys.
Come on.
The Cowboys are.
It's impossible. I mean, I guess you have to tie.
Well, the Cowboys are officially 500.
We're not going to parse this. Well, they're 500.
Well, the Cowboys actually are 500 because they do have the tie. So that's the only reason I'm parsing it, because they actually are playing a team mm-hmm. who's 500 at 5-5-1. And that's thanks to a 21-point comeback over the Eagles. And Eric, who's a Cowboys fan, at least he wants to talk about him. What's up, Eric?
Yes, yeah, I was hearing the radio yesterday, and I was appalled what I heard on the radio, but I heard some rumblings that Tom Brady was behind it because he did say the N-word on air. Oh. Also, did he have faith more in, I guess, more faith in the Baltimore making the playoffs or the Cowboys? And Dale, what do you think about Welcome to Derry? I mean, I'm sticking with it. It needs to pick up a little bit more, but I'm sticking with it. Hopefully it does. I'll hang up and listen.
I did not see last night's episode. See, Welcome to Derry's practical effects I love, but some of their CGI stuff isn't great. Like, there's a scene where, it's about, obviously, Pennywise, and Derry's a weird town, and, like, he leans into your worst fears. And so this girl, I guess, has a fear about her glasses or something. And the CGI, where she's desperate to get something out of her eyes, it's terrible. But then you see her at the end when she does what she does, and the practical stuff is great. So I'm hitting up against... Look, it's TV, so they got to spread out the money to to get the CGI in. But I like the story. And as I said, I didn't see last night's episode, but Pennywise hasn't made very many appearances. He's kind of put in different spots. But now, if you go by coming up in the weeks ahead, it's going to be a lot of Pennywise focus. So that should pick up the pace a little bit. As far as more faith in the Cowboys or the Ravens, well, the Ravens have a straight shot. If they win their division, which they currently lead, they're in the playoffs. They get the Steelers twice, their main competition. If we just follow the storyline of last year, the Steelers with their veteran quarterback will fall off, and the Ravens will catch them, beat them a couple times, and win that division. So I'll go with the Ravens there. As good as the win against the Eagles was, you're still a long ways away from catching them, and your best bet is a wild card spot, which means you're competing against the likes of the Packers, who you've already lost to, I believe. You're competing against
You tied the Packers.
Oh, that's the tie. It was like 40-40, whatever.
That's why they're a 500 team.
Yeah, it was, yeah. 40-40 was the score, I think, at the end of that game or something. So you're tied with them, but you also have to compete against the Lions.
Lions 7-4, Niners 7-4.
Seahawks.
Seahawks 8-3.
Yeah, so I have more faith in the Ravens because the Cowboys have to overcome more to get there.
And Panthers 6-5.
Yeah, another team. They play the 49ers tonight, so that'll have playoff implications tonight. The Panthers not that far away from taking the lead in the NFC South because the Bucs defense has fallen apart, and now Baker's hurt. We'll see what the MRI says on his left shoulder. He was trying to do Baker things down big in the game, running for first downs, and it caught up with him. So we'll see how he comes out of that. But what was your other thing? He said something about rumblings, which he always says. He was allegedly appalled by what he heard. That's enough. I've given him enough.
And the Tom Brady thing.
Oh, he did not say the N-word. He was caught in between saying Nickerson and Dickerson, the offensive lineman for the Eagles.
And I will say he messed up because he bailed halfway through.
Yeah, if he would have just
said. It was the worst possible time to bail.
Yeah, he could have just said Nickerson. And then
after the ER.
And then he could have been, Dickerson, he would have been fine. Instead, as you said, he bailed because he realized he said the wrong thing, the wrong word, or the wrong first part of a name, and then got himself in no real trouble, but the internet decided to try to make it trouble.
But the first part of the name is the issue. Yeah. That is the issue.
He should have just finished it and said Nickerson and then corrected himself.
Oh, I mean Dickerson. Everyone would have been like,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but, you know, he's not a professional broadcaster. So he got caught in a moment.
I mean, he is paid to.
Doesn't mean he's. Well, yes.
He's paid the most.
He's a pro because he's being paid, but let's say he doesn't have the training.
He's not a polished broadcaster.
Yeah, not that you need to be trained. A lot of guys adapt pretty quickly to that.
Yeah.
But
Romo, my goat, Romo didn't need to be trained.
I think we're all getting a little tired of the Romo of it.
On the Kareem Hunt fumble, there's of like the first replay, he really just went like, and let's see, maybe not.
Yeah.
It's a tough one. Like that was just his analysis on just like maybe not. I don't
know. Tony Romo's like a coach whose message falls on deaf ears. Like it stops hitting the same to the players. That's mm-hmm. that's where he's at with us.
He can
right
only
now.
Be here for 4 years.
Yeah, and then the worst thing.
And everyone's heard it before.
Yeah, I mean, when he first did, it was like, oh, the insight, the everyman discussions about the game, and of course, he also played the game, so he can predict what things are going to happen. But now, I don't know, Jim. We'd like you to know. That's your job.
Yeah, it went from, it's like watching the game on the couch with someone to being a compliment to now it's kind of derogatory. It's like he's just showed up to the game and just like, oh, yeah, I don't know. Looks like his footer is. No, wait. I don't know. Well, Jim, what do you got? Or actually, Gene, what are we looking at here?
You're at a party watching a game with Mix. Hey, your friend, hey, you want to watch the game with a couple people? And you're like, not really, but sure, you invited me. I'll say yes to this. And some people don't know that much about football, and they're sitting next to you asking questions that are inane to anyone who knows anything about football. So Tony Romo's got some of that going on, even though we know he knows the game. There are some points where he's like acting in a way or sounds in a way like he doesn't.
It's like he just showed up and just turned the game. Oh, sorry, just stepped in. What's going on? Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a close one. I don't know. Yeah, thanks, Tony.
Appreciate it. Enough. give more room for the sound of the crowd and Jim Nantz at some points. But he's around, and he'll continue to be around. But it's wearing thin, I think, for some people. Yeah. LaSalsa, let's get to you before we go to break. You want to talk about a movie? Anyone else want to follow? 713-780-3776. What movie do you want to talk about?
Del Odalea, Flowers to Rahizi, and Melvin Tito! Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning. So Michael Carroll did not disappoint. The first Sisu is pretty awesome. But I wanted to see if you got a chance to watch the new Toxic Avenger. I just watched it yesterday. Pretty rad. Thanks. Bye.
I have not. Credit to you for lifting bits from several callers from La Raza. And then also from Eric by bringing up Toxic Avenger. I've not seen it, almost in unconscious protest, I imagine, to Eric. Like, I'm not actively not trying to watch it, but there's something I imagine in the darker corners of my frontal lobe that are saying, nah, I'm good. Nah. Eric's brought it up so many times. I can wait on that. I'll eventually get to it. Hey, I got a vacation coming up after Wednesday. Not only just a Thanksgiving holiday, but I'm out the week after. So that'll be the time. Don't fret, CFB Dynasty group chat. Taking the Xbox with me. Don't you worry, everyone, because I know it's just going to be.
I mean, I'm.
You wouldn't give me any.
Yeah, and I'm also probably not going to bring my.
Where are you? Oh, you're going to be out next
just,
week?
Not next week, just for whatever.
Yeah, I just don't.
Five days?
Yeah, I just don't need a text in the group chat. And then I wouldn't explain it because I'm on vacation, but someone, Dell's on whatever. Dell, first of all, I wasn't even going to address it, but when someone wanted to go forward, I'd have to tell people, sorry, I don't want to get it out. Whatever, I'll find a way to play games. That's enough. That's a commentary for like six people. But either way, credit to La Salsa for taking things from others. The American way.
Credit?
It's the American way.
Okay.
I'm always taking things from, that belong to other people.
What was that? That was the Eric Hobby Horse. It was the, I guess it was just La Raza.
Yeah, it's the La Raza
two different
thing.
Ways.
Yeah.
With the name and with the introduction.
The name itself is a ripoff as well.
Yeah.
Ryan. Don't think we've forgotten your name. All right, we'll go to break. As I said, you can be next. In this nonsense that we call a show. We'll talk about the Rockets. Kevin Durant will miss the next couple games, but we'll also talk about the game he did play in, a game against the Nuggets that went in a way I wasn't surprised by, particularly down the stretch, because no matter what we think of this team, and certainly they're capable of a lot, they've got questions to answer down the stretch of games, particularly if Kevin Durant's not bailing them out. We'll get to that when we come back.
It's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
All right, we'll talk Rockets Nuggets in a bit here, but let's get to Keith. I imagine it'll be college football related. Or maybe he's got some thoughts on a replacement for Baker Mayfield. If you missed it, Baker Mayfield got banged up in the Bucks blowout loss to the Rams, who may very well be the best team in football. But maybe since he has one of the preeminent longtime backups in Teddy Bridgewater behind him, Keith doesn't think the Bucks need anyone. But what's up, Keith?
Hey guys, happy Maui Invitational Week to all those who celebrate. You know, four games today, tomorrow, and Wednesday from beautiful Maui. Quick question. You know, the Baker injury sucks for the Bucks. You know, it might be the Panthers' year to steal the division with all their injuries. But my question is, Emmanuel Forbes, first-round pick for the Commanders, was like 150 pounds a few years ago, completely just fell off the face of the earth on that squad, was cut, never played, banged up. And now he's all of a sudden just like a lockdown corner with the Rams. Like, could this season be any worse for the Commanders with all their injuries, and they made the NFC title game last year, and seeing Forbes do this for the Rams, who's the best record in football, essentially. Now, what's going on with the Commanders and Forbes, and how does this turnaround happen, and how do these first-round picks, you know, they get a second chance, and they just seem to, you know, skyrocket with a new team?
I'm almost at a point where I want to refuse to discuss that question, considering the specific nature of it and the player in question no one ever thinks about. I'm almost at a point where I want to refuse to talk about it, like, just because, to teach Keith a lesson. Keith, I don't know if you missed out on your chance to get in with John and Lance, but come on. You're asking me. Look, I know Emmanuel Forbes. He's a skinny player who played for the Commanders and failed. I guess the gist of it is, sometimes, as they say, you need a change in scenery. And Chris Shula's a dude. The DC for the Rams is really good. He is in line for a job. Hell, it doesn't hurt that he has the name of Shula, but he's done a good job for the Rams, and he's connected to Sean McVay, which always helps. Now, it's not on the offensive side. That's why, in some ways, Nick Haley is here. But Sean can't even call Chris Shula a coffee getter because he is a coordinator for the opposite side.
Yeah. So that's why he's not a head coach somewhere.
So he has, why? Because he didn't get Sean McVay coffee?
Because he's not an offensive guy.
He'll get it. He's going to get one. He's going to, yeah.
He's going to have to wait a lot longer than the offensive.
If we're watching this Rams defense, he should not. Now, they have some dudes on the defensive front. They also extended our good buddy, Landman, the guy who punched it out from Dari Ogunbowale. Yeah. They did. Landman's in season two, but Landman, he got an extension for the Rams, so he's done a good job with that side of the ball, so he's probably going to get a job for particularly. Take a look at Miami, because the name might resonate if Mike McDaniel gets fired. Just saying. Chris Shula bringing back the Dolphins. Is Shula bringing back the Dolphins to glory? Don't put it past Stephen Ross to love that messaging. Just so be aware of that.
I want the best for all parties involved. But really doing the, like, hey, my granddad.
He's also the opposite defensive guy, fiery guy, opposite of the current guy. And then you throw in the fact that he's a Shula and fans would embrace it wholeheartedly, and they need good PR. Yeah. So I would not put it past them. As far as Emmanuel Forbes, credit to him.
He also gained 15 pounds.
Oh, he put on some weight. Credit to him for that.
He's now listed at 180.
Oh, so he's not as thin as he was
before. He was 166 at the draft. So
yeah, so he's done a good job.
I feel like just getting to, like, acceptable cornerback weight.
Might have helped. Give Chris Shula his credit. He is one of those names that's going to be in the coaching carousel this offseason. As far as the Commanders, just bad luck. I don't know. They leaned into let's get some veterans in here. They tried to fast track this thing. It didn't help that Jonathan Allen is no longer there. But they tried the fast track, and of course they traded for Tunsil, culture setter, Landry Tunsil.
Mm-hmm.
They've had their injuries, as you mentioned, but it all started when Terry McLaurin wasn't in camp.
Yeah.
And then they eventually paid him, but he hasn't been available very much. And then you throw in Jaden Daniels not being available. It all comes together to be bad.
Yeah. And they already were probably a little inflated last year.
I would agree.
Because they are like 80-something percent on fourth down last year, and they needed all of them to win a game on a Hail Mary.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like last year was – I mean, it's the classic, like, variance of, like, it's like, hey, you caught every break last year. You're not going to catch as many breaks, and in the words of Bill O'Brien, the NFL's an 8-8 league. Like, everyone's kind of the same for the most part.
And things aren't going your way this
year. Like, the difference between going 4-12 and 12-4 actually, like, isn't that crazy, especially when you mix in the injuries to your best players on offense.
So that's what it is. They were ahead of schedule, probably a little fake last year, but credit to them for what they did. And thanks to Jaden Daniels for a lot of it. He's not available. And even when he wasn't having as good of a year, partly to do with the fact that you've got Debo as one of your receivers, and we know he's had injury concerns, and he's not really a receiver. At least his route tree isn't very broad. And then your best guy, you mess with him as far as his money was concerned. He held out, and then when he got back, let's just assume he wasn't in the greatest football shape, and he's been hurt throughout the year. And there may be something to just having Laremy Tunsil on your team leading to disappointment. I'm not sure about that. But it all came together for a down year.
I haven't seen the pregame fits for the offensive linemen.
So. And then you do the whole thing where you sign Von Miller because you think you're close. We talked about it when it happened. Oh, they think they're close because they brought in Von Miller. Since the Rams did it and it worked out, the Bills, close, but never won. And Von Miller had his issues off the field and had his issues staying healthy on the field. Now he's a Commander, and you're bad. So I think they just got ahead of themselves as far as who they thought they were. And did we really think a Dan Quinn-led team was going to be?
Also, their defense was very, can you believe these guys on defense are figuring it? They're actually a really old team, too. That's something a lot of people.
Yeah, they got older.
They're just exciting, you know.
Bobby Wagner, you got to depend on still.
Well, it's you think, Jane Daniels. I mean, McLaurin's older than you think, but the
30 or whatever.
Bill Crosby Merritt, this is a team on the rise. It's an up and up. It's this actually isn't the bring it local. This isn't the Texans where they had three draft classes worth of talent, in the defensive backfield and pass rush with Will Anderson and Nico Collins. They weren't that team. It was an older team that, was good for you.
Yeah. Jacob Martin's is one of your starting defensive ends as Von Miller was spelled. Remember Jacob Martin, the guy who was here during the dark years of the Texans?
He was a special team.
Yeah. Whole Rock Boys, remember that thing they were trying to get off? Yeah. So
bring those back.
No. Let's not bring that back. No. And for your sake, Keith, the Commanders have one of their own former first-round cast-offs, at least another team's former first-round cast-off. They have Noah Igbinoghene, who was a first-rounder for the Dolphins, and now he's their starting nickelback. It happens both ways.
I think part of the reason we see all these guys, and I was thinking this watching J.J. McCarthy attempt to play football yesterday.
Woof. Poor Justin Jefferson.
I think we just throw first-round busts in the trash way faster than we used to.
Yeah, it's true.
Because there's a lot of you just can't do this with J.J. McCarthy again. While I kind of agree, what's stopping them from just bringing in a veteran quarterback, but just keeping J.J. McCarthy as the backup? Actually try to give him the old school, sit for another year, learn behind a veteran type of thing, was kind of standard with first-round picks. I get why they don't do that with the rookie scale deals. But, it really feels like J.J. McCarthy just needs some time to figure it out. Or needs more time to figure it out. And then, look at the guy they had last year in Minnesota. Sam Darnold, the same way. Baker Mayfield bounced around. All these guys bounce around after the first stop, and they get better when they're 28 instead of 23.
Well, right or wrong, and Kevin O'Connell has two good years under his belt, one subpar year in 2023, and he's on the verge of having an awful year this year. You know that saying, you draft the first rounder at quarterback. You draft a quarterback in the first round and he's not good, he'll get you fired. And Kevin O'Connell will have this year he'll get next year, certainly, I assume. But if you're already punting on the first round pick who you acquire to take that because you thought he would help this roster that people thought highly of and take it to the next level, when Sam Darnold's faults understood, when you decided no to Sam Darnold coming off a 14-3 year, it's tough to go, you know what? I was so wrong on this guy being ready. I pushed Sam Darnold aside. I'm going to go bring in another version of Sam Darnold and let him sit again. That's tough. That's tough for messaging, even if it's the right way of going about it. You're just going to go, you know what? How does it help J.J. McCarthy for two out of the first years of his career? He never plays. I don't think they believe that's the good way to develop a quarterback. So they're just going to run him out there again.
If I was Kevin O'Connell, I would maybe in the offseason, or maybe, early in the offseason, probably really early for the Vikings in the offseason, just hey, Shane Steichen, how'd you do it? Hey, Chris Ballard, how'd you do it? How'd you draft a guy third overall who was never good at football? And just didn't get fired. No, got fired.
Chris Ballard, allegedly, the thought was he would go if this season didn't turn out the way it has. And they banked on Daniel Jones.
And if I'm Kevin O'Connell, I'm give me one shot. One opportunity.
Yeah, Cam O'Connell.
To get another cast off quarterback.
Well, we'll see who's next up for them.
Mac Jones, come on down.
Well, we'll see. We'll see on that one. Well, Sam Darnold did spend some time in San Francisco as well. So
yes. All these guys. It is the biggest indictment of J.J. McCarthy. That's like, you played for Kevin O'Connell and you didn't get good at football? Ugh. Like all these other guys, they failed with like the Browns and Jets and, I mean, Geno Smith, Jets. Like it's like a lot of like, oh, yeah, that's where teams, or, you know, Daniel Jones with the Giants. Like, yeah, those teams, they're always clown shows. This is like, no, this is the guy who fixes all those quarterbacks.
Yeah, he's the guy who rehabs these guys.
It's like the Trey Lance thing.
Maybe Kevin O'Connell isn't good with young quarterbacks. He needs someone who's been seasoned by failure, and he can build him back up. Okay. James McCarthy, all he knew was hand the
like
ball
some
off
years
to,
on him.
All he knew was hand the ball off to Blake Corum and Donovan Edwards and throwing the tight ends off of play action. A lot of success there. He don't know. If that's the same, Keith, thanks for – oh, okay. Keith just wanted to call in and say Kevin O'Connell is overrated. Thank you for that. Maybe.
Okay.
Don't have any playoff wins. Did lose to
– Daniel Jones.
Daniel Jones at home in a playoff game. And then also got their
– doors blown
up. Doors blown off by the Rams, but that's Matt Stafford. That's a different ball game. Yeah. Speaking of Matt Stafford, all that Drake May MVP stuff, get out of here. Just cut it out. That man's 30 touchdowns and two picks. What are we talking about?
And was it like 20-something straight touchdowns? Yeah. Or, you're not straight touchdowns, but you know, he's thrown 24 without touchdowns a without a pick.
You see the throws he was making? Cut it out. Drake May wishes he could be Sam Darnold. Maybe 10 years from now he will be, but right now, not close. All right, we'll go to break with that. Matthew Stafford put on a masterclass in that first half, just picking apart that Bucs defense. 30 touchdowns and two picks. Even when Rodgers only threw two picks, he didn't get the 30 touchdowns, I don't think. Maybe it was like 28-2, whatever it was. But
not before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, he certainly didn't get the 30 touchdowns 30 before Thanksgiving. We got to just bow down to Matt Stafford. Remember his back? Remember before the year, the Texans were like, hey, Stafford might not play. Garoppolo's going to play.
It was like 10 days before the season.
He was in some type of trailer around the facility.
Yeah, like the Airstream.
Yeah.
I mean.
And look at him.
That's why people were, I mean, not down, but like, that's why the Rams weren't viewed as like one of the contenders. It's just because, well, you know, 4 months of a guy whose back is being looked at every day in training camp.
Yeah.
Probably isn't good.
Yeah, that Rodgers year where he only threw two picks, he was 25-2. Now, there's a year where he went 37-4. That's the type of deal that Stafford's on right now.
Yeah.
All right, we'll go to break with that. We'll talk Rockets when we come back. They had a clutch game against the Nuggets that didn't go their way. We'll also tell you about Kevin Durant and why he won't be playing in the next two games. We'll do that when we get back.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.